Shana and Martha and Hannah and Kayla, our band. Let's let them know how much you appreciate them today. We couldn't do what we do here without them. Sometimes surprises happen. They do. I wrestle this thing and wrestle this thing. She knows it. It's not until I step in this pulpit I get what I'm supposed to be preaching and talking about. That happened when I stepped up here a while ago. And I knew to put the brakes on, let everything else get done, and then go back. And that's what I've done this morning. It's not a new scripture. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. My mama used to always go around saying, "Que sera, sera. Whatever shall be, shall be." And if she's listening, thank you for that, I suppose. In life, as we've known life over the last several months, I told Kay this week, I think it was Kay or someone, I said, "You know what?" I said, "I don't even make long-term plans no more." I said, "I make plans pretty much from day to day, just like you do." I said, "Sometimes we don't know what's in a day." If you go back in the scripture, James even reminds us, and James says, "Take no thought for tomorrow will be sufficient of itself. It'll take care of itself when you get there." And we're reminded again in the book of Matthew how that Jesus gives us that confidence and that assurance that no matter what we're faced with, He's going to be there with us. You remember the reading where Jesus was telling the parable, and Jesus was saying to those disciples that He was soon to leave behind, that how that God takes care of the birds. He says that birds have nests, the foxes have holes, Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. But yet it reminds us that Solomon in all of his glory, you look at the field of lilies in the spring of the year and you look, man, that is just majestic. How does that happen? Who planted those? God. God did it. God did it as a covenant, and God did it as a, not a covenant, but God did it as a sign to show you and I, why worry about it? Just go with me. Just go with God. Again, we look at the scripture and we think about what He says, and Solomon in all of his glory was not even arrayed like these. If God so knows how to take care and clothe the fields, God says, "I know how to take care of you." So the first thing I want to talk to you and give you the assurance this morning is, I remember something I told Sister Beckner years ago. She was on that side at the time. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need, and He knows how to get it to you. Now, I don't know what the result was with that particular situation, but they're still here today. God knew where they were at. He knew what they needed, and God knew how to get it to you. So this morning, I'm just making a proclamation over the church, us. The whole time they've been singing, I've been wrestling. And I hear God, the Holy Ghost, saying to my heart, "Go with God." Look to your neighbor and say, "Go with God." The Bible reminds me, if God be for me, then who can be against me? When you look in Psalm chapter number 91, it is a reflection of the heart of David when David's life was under attack of his enemies. David had a lot of enemies. He was a king, but he had a lot of enemies. Sometimes it's lonely at the top, but my wife reminded me one time, she said, "But eagles often soar alone. So even with the psalmist David, as we look in Psalm 91, he opens this up and he reminds us that he that dwelleth, and that's the first word that got my attention. If you're going with God, are you dwelling with God? How do you know that? How do you know that God is there? Well, David, again, is that person that reminds us, and he says these words in the psalm, that I've been old, young, but now I'm old. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, a lot of you on that one, wouldn't you? I know what it was when I was 14 and 15 and 16 year old. Those aches and pains wasn't there then. But now they're there. They finally caught up with me. And I promise you, as you get older, there'll be more of them catch up with you. But anyway, he says, I've been young, but now I'm old. And he says, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And the thing that, again, gets my attention is where that God was talking to his people Israel, much like God's speaking to us today. And he asked this question when that we read in the psalmist, I'm not going to turn there, and he says, that when everybody else has forsaken me, mother, father, everybody else has forsaken me, God, when I felt like I was all alone and everybody else had forgot me, I turned and I found that you were still there. It's a reminder in the latter part of the Old Testament where that he says these words, can a mother forget her suckling child? No. And God says, no more than a mother can forget her suckling child, no more can I forget you. So the first thing I want to admonish us today is to go with God. First of all, we've got to stay in the dwelling place. I love reading in the Scripture about God's presence, and I don't read enough of it, because you find this certain amount of confidence and this certain amount of assurance that when you're in God's presence, there's a... I guess I can say it like this, the way I thought about it. There's a lack of fear. Fear is, as Kay and I've talked, that at times that fear is false evidence appearing real. That when you get fearful, and you know, the Bible reminds us that Satan goeth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. One of the greatest small little bitty lessons that I ever learned was right after I got saved. I was in my bed one night. My brother was in the Navy. I was laying there in the bed, and all of a sudden there was this spirit of fear came upon me, and it was like a voice said to me, the devil's standing at your door. The devil's behind you. And at that time, when you'd been saved for a month or 2 months, you know, there's this certain amount of fear. And right now, that's what the enemy of our soul, not even about COVID, not even about the political issue, about life at large, is the first thing the enemy wants to do is to strike fear and the what ifs and the uh-ohs and what's going to happen now into your life and my life. And my proclamation before you this morning is go with God. Go with God. That night I lay in the bed with cold chills going up and down my backbone. I told the pastor that I got saved under, Buford Letford, I went back and told him. I said, the devil was at my door. The devil was behind me at my door. And he said, and he was so country. I mean, I'm country, but I'm a city slicker compared to this guy. And I tell you what, he looked at me and he said, son, I tell you what right now, he said, as long as the devil's behind you, you ain't got a not nurry thing to worry about. That's a mountain word. Nurry a thing. I can talk mountain talk. Not nurry a thing to worry, nothing to worry about. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying to you and to me today, go with God. When you go with God, there's something that I, when I think about that little thought, go with God. God's a roadmap. The Bible is the roadmap. The Bible is the roadmap for you and it's for me. My wife is geographically challenged. She'd get lost in the backyard. Well, she ain't that bad, but she'd get lost in the neighborhood almost. That's not a slam on Sherry. She knows it. She's got a GPS in her car. I pay about $20 a month on that Bluetooth thing in my car just to get her to where she needs to go, where she don't get lost. But I'll leave that alone. She won't scold me. She knows it's the truth. A lot of times we go through life not knowing what to do because we don't have the map. We ain't reading the map. And I'll leave that message alone for another time. When you begin to look at these particular verses of Scripture, there are several places that my mind went to today when this little thought came to me. First of all, when you look in Psalm 91 and 1, he says that as he opens this up, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That's the other word that come to my mind, shall abide. Now, if I had time, which I'm not going to take the time because I got to go in a different direction here in a minute, but I would take you over to the book of John, chapter number 15, where Jesus uses these words. And he says, abide in me, and I in you. And the purpose of that is to stay connected so that you will produce fruit, much fruit, more fruit, that your fruit would remain. Got to say it the way I feel it. A lot of reasons, one of the reasons that people is having such a hard time in our society today because they've disconnected themselves from the source of strength that they were really getting their nutrients from. And that is God himself. He's the root of the tribe of Judah. He's the root. He's that root that sprung up just as a sprig, but he grew up into a mighty fortress, if you will. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get connected again. If you're going to go with God, you got to get connected again. I was talking to my little sister this week on this phone right here in a 10-minute conversation. I got disconnected two times. She said, I don't know what in the world happened to that phone. I have no idea. I said, well, it ain't me because I'm sitting still. She was on her Bluetooth. It was one of them wireless things. You know what I mean? You've got to stay connected. If you're going to go with God, you've got to stay connected to God. And he says, abide under the shadow. Shadow, when we think about that, you don't get a shadow unless there's something there to produce the shadow. I got a picture of my little dog, Bella. Some of you may know Bella. Bella's about, I don't know, she's probably 6-year-old. Four-year-old. I bought her as a pup. We went up to Galax, Whitesville, Virginia area and bought that dog. I brought her home. She was on the sidewalk. She was about that big. She was about 3 pounds, little old bitty thing. I took a picture, a snapshot of her. She was on the sidewalk, and when she was on that sidewalk, It made her shadow look about this big. And I remember putting it on Facebook, and it says, one day I'll be a big dog. She was a little bitty. She wasn't hardly able to get around, you know. A shadow is evidence that there's a presence there. He says that he'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who are you abiding under? If I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, that means the Almighty's there. And the S-O-N is the reflection. You know what I mean? You got to have the sun, you know? I've been walking in the woods at times, and years ago, I'd be walking. I'd have one of my walking sticks with me, and the sun would be behind me in my reflection. It looked like I was about 40 foot tall, the way the sun was. And he says that he abides under the shadow. When we think about this again, in my mind, the way I thought about this, it's one of them things that gives you and I this great relief of being fearful. A relief of being fearful. This world is so afraid right now of everything. Everything. And I think about that. David even reminds us that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death here with David is nothing but a shadow. Death is nothing but a shadow for the believer, because you and I know that the Bible says in the New Testament that if we put our trust and confidence just like Lazarus when they was in the book of John chapter number 11. Lazarus was in the tomb. Several days he was there. I think it's 11:25 along through there. But it says, and Jesus and Mary and Martha was there, and they were having this great big conversation. And in this conversation, Martha and Mary, I think it's Mary one, worried to death and scurrying around. Oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here, our brother Lazarus would not have died. And then he comes back and he tells them there in that verse of Scripture, and Jesus looks back at them and he says, hey, even though your brother's dead right now, your brother shall live. Even though we look at situations around us right now, how many of you know you're going to live forever in Christ Jesus? We never die. We never die. We're about as dead as we're ever going to be right now, because we're not going to die in Him. Jesus looked back at her and he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Remember when they were at the tomb of Jesus and Jesus was there and the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? That Jesus, He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Hey, can I tell you this? Outside of the rapture of the church, you're not going to get out of this world alive. Well, I just killed that service. It has a lot to do with how you live, yes. But it's got a whole lot to do with how you're going to die, too. Somebody says there's a whole lot worse things than death. Yeah, dying lost without Jesus. I was going to preach a nice little fancy message on salvation today. Got it in my notebook, got it outlined, pretty and sweet. Gave Abby a few things upstairs. But let me talk about salvation for a minute. Because salvation is deliverance. I'm going to bounce for just a second. Let me just share this real fast, because he talks about this in Psalm 27 in verse number 1. And he says this, the Lord is my light. He is the one, Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus shines the way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Jesus is the way. If you're going to go with God. Don't go with the devil's crowd. These young people today, they're trying to be popular. They're trying to fit in. I remember a time, Lord Jesus, I don't even want to say this. Say it anyway. I don't want to say it. Say it anyway. I don't want to say it. I was in a welding shop. And there was some buddies of mine. They were friends. I had a vehicle. I had a doodle bug. Some of you know what a doodle bug is. Some of you don't have a clue. I had a Volkswagen. Punch bug, red. You know, you get it. I'm dating myself. These guys, they all piled in my car one day. Lunch. Now you're going to look at me and go, you should not tell stuff like this, preacher. Why not? It happened. The one in the back seat, I didn't do it. They were in my car. They were at Pisgah High School on school grounds. One of them had a joint. He rolled the joint and he had it in his pocket. He got it out, got in my car and fired the joint up. And I'm going, oh dear God. I didn't even know God. And I was still scared. I was going, oh dear God, I'm ruined. The rest of my life is ruined right here, right now. And you're saying, what happened? Hey, let me tell you what happened. It's real clear with me. Somebody says, you're never going to soar with eagles when you're hanging around a bunch of turkeys. You know what I found out turkeys do? Look out there on that front porch and you'll find out. I can't tell you in the last 10 years how many times I've cleaned that porch up. They eat and poop. That's about all they ever do. That's all they live for. Where in the world did that come from? It's okay. I'm going to dig my way out of this hole in a minute. Why did you bring all that up, preacher? It's simply because young people today, they deal with peer pressure. And they think that they have to do things like that in order to be accepted by their friends and their peers. Yeah, those guys may have been my friends, quote unquote. but I did not want to be associated with their lifestyle. If you're going to go with God, sometimes you've got to sever yourself from the things that pulls you down and the thing. Can two walk together except they agree? Where are you going? You got to tag up with people. You got to team up with people that's going in the same direction you're going in. My deal is you got to go with God. Somebody says, well, I'm so stinking old now, there ain't nothing going to change me. Here's the thing. Some people today are so miserable being miserable that they can't help but to be miserable. Miserable. But that's not what the Bible says. Are y'all still okay? I promise you I'm being inspired every moment that I'm standing up here this morning. Because the Bible says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same that the name of the Lord shall be praised. I challenge you. If you go with God, put a praise upon your lips and a song in your heart. He says again in this psalm that the Lord, and we're going back to Psalm 27 and 1. And you say, well, what has all this got to do with everything you're talking about today? Here it is, the Lord is my light. If you don't have a light, you don't know what direction you're going in. And then he says, and my salvation. Salvation is a term, if you look this up, and I'd looked it up for the message today. And basically, salvation means one thing if you look it up. Salvation. It means to be delivered from or to be rescued. And it gives the idea and the concept of deliverance. David uses this in the concept of Psalm 91, that while he's dealing with the enemies and his foes around him, the whole time he's saying this, that God is my deliverer. If you're dealing with something, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And don't get mad at the preacher. We make too many excuses for sins these days. We oftentimes stay in sin because we enjoy our sin. That may not be for nobody here in this building. But I've seen this. But even the Word of God said, to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Go with God. Sometimes you can't run with the crowd. I can't run with the crowd. I promise you, I could go out of this building today and go out there somewhere, and I could be in trouble by dark. I promise you that. I promise you I could be in trouble by dark. I'm not doing it. I've made up my mind. I'm not doing it. If I have to stay in my building by myself and go up to the house and eat a sandwich every now and then, and me and Sherry live in the house and Aaron at peace to keep from all this mess going on out here, I'll do it. Are you okay? I mean, you know, I'm not all up about this thing being by myself and being isolated and being an island and going under radar. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But here's the thing. The Bible tells me to flee from the very appearance of evil. If there's people that's trying to drag me down and pull me down and make me into something that God don't want me to be, I'm going with them. And God says to you and to me today, Thomasville Church of God, you may not be the brightest spot on the block, so to speak. You may not be the only church on the block. But here's one thing God says. Go with me, and I will rescue you, and I will be there for you, and I will be your source of strength and help in a time of trouble. Hello? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Go with God. Let me look at this Psalm 91. I don't know what time I'm supposed to quit today. Nobody really told me that, so just bear with me for a minute. Verse number 2. I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse number 2. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. It's testimony time. I will say of the Lord. I will testify in the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Now look at his testimony. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of this other stuff. That's not really what the Lord focused me on. But this is what he says. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the enemy, the fowler, and from the noisome pestilent. Now, let me read this to you really, really quick. There was another person in the scripture that went with God. You know him very, very well. His name is Moses. Moses was again, he was called to be the deliverer, the salvation, the deliverer. He's a typology of Christ in the scripture of the people of Israel. And Moses knew he could not go it alone. That's where we're at today in America. You say, well, preacher, what's going to happen in America? I have no idea. I have no idea. But you know what? I'm a red-blooded American. But, you know, if you go back in Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to stay a long time there. If you go back in Hebrews 11, it talks about all these died in the faith. But it described these that all died in the faith as what? Sojourners. I think Brother Scott mentioned this in the lesson today. Sojourners and pilgrims. Somebody says, you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good, or so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Either one, whichever way it fits. But here's what I'm saying. But this whole world's not my home. Sherry and I know situations. People worry themselves sick over things they cannot change. Huh? Here's what Moses said. And I want you to get a hold of this before we go. This is again in Exodus chapter 33 where that God had called Moses to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. And one very important thing that Moses picked up on, and I've read this scripture off and on for years, is Moses understood his inability to function without God. Did you grab a hold of that? His inability to function without God. Somewhere in our society along the journey, God is continuing to be pushed out and kicked out. Don't mention that name. And so many in our society today is continuing to push God out. Push Him out. Push Him out. How many of you know that I've been told the Holy Ghost is a gentleman and He will not come where He is not wanted? I remember Bishop Boland preaching that message years ago about Revelation where, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man let him in, he'll come in and he'll sup. Well, you got to let him in. If you're going to go with God today, you've got to let Him in. I mean, it's easy to talk the talk, but do you really want Him? Do you really want God in your life today? Are y'all okay? Do you really want God in your life today? I do. Now, that would take me into a whole different area of talking for the next little while if I wanted to go there, and I'm not going there right now. But I will say this. When you make a decision to follow God, there's going to be all kinds of brand new challenges in your life that was not there before. Brand new challenges that was not there before. Let me wrap this up here. I love these verses of Scripture. This is again in Exodus chapter 33. When God was calling Moses to go to a new place, to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses said unto the Lord, this is verse 12, Thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and Thou hast not let me know whom Thou wilt send with me. Yet Thou hast said, I know Thee by name, and Thou hast found grace in my sight. Again, go with God. Moses was going with God, but here's the thing about that. God was with Moses. Verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I love this part right here. And the Lord spoke, and the Lord said to Moses, what did y'all sing in the presence? And he said, this is God speaking, my presence shall go with thee. Isn't it awesome that when we make a decision to go with God, that God stands up for us and God says, hey, I can't forsake them now. As they go, so shall I go with them. So shall I be with them. Has anybody got God in your heart today? Is God on anybody's side today? Hey, let me tell you something. Again, I will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, look here. One person said one time that if the enemy comes at you and me, always understand that we've got an elder brother. They said that David picked up those extra stones because he had heard it through the grapevine that Goliath had some brothers that might just show up. In other words, when the legions and the demons of hell shows up to attack you and I, you're not by yourself. You're not alone. Go with God, and God will go with you. Stay connected to the vine, and the vine will be with you. Whatever you do, stay with God. Are we okay? I think you get the message today. And you say, well, this is a quinky-dink that you just happened to do this message just for, because you were sort of just kindly inspired by it just all of a sudden and you felt like you needed to do it. No. I believe that God's talking directly to somebody in this room or online. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've wanted to throw your hands up. Maybe your influences has not been good influences. Maybe you've been in church, but you've not really been connected. You've been going through some type of formality and maybe just sort of a emotion. And God knows you today, and God says, no. Go with me. Great scripture, and I'll show you the great and the mighty things that you knoweth not. Jeremiah 33:3. He told Moses in the scripture, he said, my presence shall go with thee. Now watch this. And I will give thee rest. Anybody need rest today? And he said unto him, this is Moses talking back to God. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Moses was saying, I'm not going to leave your glory. I'm not going to leave your presence. At least you and I, God, are having this conversation right here. At least we're together right now. I'm not going to go outside the boundaries of your presence. I'm not going to leave you, God. I don't want to go anywhere where your presence is not at. And then he says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people upon the face of the earth. And then Moses said, and then in verse number 17, the Lord said to Moses, what did he say? He said, I will do this thing. What is it? He says in verse 16, that my presence will go with you. That's awesome. I know most of you are ready to go. Wish I'd hush. You're chomping at the bit. Why don't we just enjoy God's presence every now and then? Why don't we just enjoy being here in God's presence without worrying and we come leaving? You know what I mean? Looking for an escape route. And the preacher bows his head. I can get up and scoot on out of here. Folks, don't miss what God's going to do here. Don't miss what God's going to do. Let me meddle for about 1 minute. I remember a time in the church when we used to have this antiquated thing called an altar call or altar service. It's an antiquated thing now. We don't do altar calls no much, not much anymore. People don't come. But I remember in my life, we expected an altar call at the end of the message. And people would come and they'd tarry and they'd weep and they'd cry out to God. Because they knew if They didn't go with God, and God didn't go with them when they left there that day. They didn't know what they were going to have to face the rest of that week. So I'm just simply telling you today, go with God. Let me read the rest of this real, real fast, because you're not going to get it unless I read the rest of it. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, and thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses talking to God, show me thy glory. What a prayer. He says, I will show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. There shall no man see my face and live. And then he says in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Say that with me. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. When you look back at Psalm 91, here's where that came from. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God told Moses, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for thy word. Lord, I thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And Lord, without you today in this place, we cannot do anything at all. I pray, Father God, that you would minister to every heart, to every boy, every woman, every girl, every person in this room. Let us understand the value and the necessity of your presence. Father, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Father, you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never orphan us. Lord, you'll never leave us in despair. So, Father, today, we make this decision. We're going to go with you. We're going to go with God. Father, I pray your blessings over every home, every family. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, maybe somebody here this morning, maybe this message was designed particularly for you. Maybe not for anybody else. Maybe you've struggled in your walk with God. Maybe you've not known which direction to go in. Maybe you've been pulled by the weight of the world and away from God, away from the church, away from the holiness and the righteousness of God. And you have felt the tug and the undercurrent, the tow of the world pulling against you. But today you heard the Holy Spirit loud and clear. You heard the Holy Spirit say, go with God, and God will go with you. Father, I pray that you confirm this message.